What shall I say to them? Please send someone else. Those are the words of Moses in Exodus 3 when God called him to serve. When God asked him to go and to bring the people out of Egypt, and of course, in underestimating his ability, Moses didn't see that he had the ability to do what God had called him to do. And in some ways this morning, I want us to talk about this concept, about this idea. When we talk about preparing to shepherd, preparing to lead God's people in this capacity. We've had some sermons about this already. I want to continue this series of sermons talking specifically to people who are in their 30s or around that age frame, although it wouldn't be limited to that. All of these that we're going to talk about from this point on would really be good for anyone, for any adult. But I think in particular, as we narrow it down to certain age ranges, there are some things that are particular to these ages that matter in terms of service, whether or not we ever are able or capable or qualified to serve as a shepherd, or whether we're not. These are going to be helpful things in our lives as Christians as we walk and try to do the will of God. Therefore, it's helpful for all of us. Maybe you realize at this point in your life that you will never be able to be a shepherd for whatever reason it could be. Maybe you aren't sure. One thing that I would suggest is that from these qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, from Titus 1, from what we see in other passages of Scripture, including Old Testament texts like Ezekiel 34, is that any of these ideas and concepts of what it means to be a person of God, a leader among God's people, is something that everyone can acquire. This concept of being blameless, the idea of being sober-minded or self-controlled or respectable or any of these ideas, all of them can be gained. And one thing I want us to understand is it's not necessarily that we are born with these kinds of attributes or qualities. But through work and through diligence and through study, through regular correction, through awareness, we can develop ourselves into people who acquire, if not all of these characteristics, many of them. And again, whether or not you one day are able to serve in this capacity, the ultimate goal of what we're talking about here, which is preparing men to serve as shepherds and preparing women to be wives of shepherds, whether you ever get to that point or not, you will be better for going down this road, for building the qualities and the concepts that are given to us here in places like 1 Timothy 3, which many of these can be found in other texts of the New Testament relating to saints in general. This morning I want us to talk about some of these ideas that have to do with laying a foundation for our future, those of us who are in their 30s. A while ago, when I preached some sermons similar to this, I was well in my 20s, so it struck me throughout the week that this sermon is actually for me now, that I've gotten older. Kind of a rude awakening. But really, that's what all of this is about, is it's realizing where we are and what we need and what we should be working on. And I think there's some specific things we can draw from these characteristics in 1 Timothy 3, which is where I want to read from this morning. And they're going to help those of us who are in our late 20s, in our 30s, even maybe early 40s, as we're thinking about where we want to be as a person later, and maybe where we can serve and how we can fulfill certain roles within the congregation, including being a shepherd one day. He says, this is a trustworthy saying. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach or blameless, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. I would also suggest, as we've gone through these various sermons, that when we get to this point, things are getting much more realistic. The horizon is there before us. When we're in our 30s and we're beginning to have children, or maybe we already have children of age, and we see where this is bringing us. It's not like the teenagers that we talked about before, where we have some theoretical ideas or some concepts that we're thinking about, all of which are good and need to be built upon. But now we are in the middle of what's being talked about here. Many of us are married. Many of us have children. Many of us are building homes, and we're developing character, reputation, what we need to talk about here in just a minute. We see that we're right in the middle of the things that Paul is talking about right here. And how is it that we're going to handle this? What is going to be the result in our life? We're there right now. It's not just a theory. It's not something off in the future. It's what we're right in the middle of. And if I or if you want to be prepared eventually, not too far off at this point, to be ready to shepherd or to be a leader in general within the congregation, to have these types of qualities, what are we going to be doing right now to get us to that point where we don't fall into this Moses syndrome, where I'm just not capable, or I'm not eloquent, or I just can't do it, and we underestimate the abilities that we actually have? How can we avoid that? I'd suggest in our 30s, around this age frame, we really need to be focused and thinking about the reality that we are building character and reputation. And this is true in so many areas of our life. Just think for just a moment, those of you who are in this age range specifically, or maybe you're beyond this and you can think about where you were when you were in your 30s, just in the workplace, in developing who you were or who you are now, if this is where you're at. What kinds of things matter? And of course, we see this blown up into epic proportions now with social media. You know, we have LinkedIn and we have all these other ways in which people can say what we're good at and what qualities we've built in our life and maybe the degrees that we have. And all of those sorts of things become pretty important at this period of life because we're developing who we are as a worker and where we want to end up in our career. We realize the significance of that. And how important it is at this point in life to be well-developed in that way. And someone who's not, we worry, don't we? Someone who's in their mid-30s, and they haven't developed any kind of sense of where they're going with their career or what they're going to do, they're probably worried. And those close to them might be a little bit worried about where this is going to bring them. Why is that? Why do we have those concerns? Because we understand the ultimate implications. We realize the importance of what's happening in this period of life and what's being built and what we're growing and what we're saying to other people by the things that we're doing and how this is ultimately going to affect us most of the time as we grow older and we get into later years, even within our jobs, and what kind of places we're going to work and who's going to hire us and all those sorts of things. Looking at this just from a material perspective, we realize the importance of this stage of life. And we realize in some ways, it doesn't matter what your GPA was. It doesn't matter what you did in school. What matters now is who you are and what you've become. Nobody's looking at your transcript anymore. They're looking at how you have produced and what you've been doing for your employers or what you've been doing in your workplace. Those are the things that matter, the character that you've developed and the reputation that you have built far outweigh any of those other things. And what I suggest this morning is that is what we ought to be working on from a spiritual perspective as well. And just as the wise man suggests in Ecclesiastes 12, it's hard to overcome what we become in our youth. Before the difficult days come, we need to remember the Creator, that there are things we need to accomplish and work toward. And we might be pulling that slightly from the context of what the wise man is saying there, but the principle still applies, that it becomes much harder to change as we get older. And so as we are in this period of formation and building, we need to pay careful attention to what we're becoming and what we are doing in our life. And many of these qualifications speak to that in this idea of being blameless that heads this list of qualities, the idea of being above reproach. This is what we are developing in our life and what we are not only seen as, but what we really are, the integrity that we have. This idea of being sober or respectable or not being greedy, quick-tempered. I would say that some of us struggle, some of us in our 30s, struggle with some of these things. In particular, the one I've heard the most, and not necessarily here, I just mean in general, talking to people about this concept from 1 Timothy 3, is the idea of being quick-tempered. That's something that in our youth we have to overcome, isn't it? Many of us, we struggle with temper, whether it's on the road or whether it's in our workplace with frustrating situations. We can blow off the handle so quickly. And what I want us to understand is all hope is not lost. We don't need to get it in our mind that we're like Moses. Well, I'm just never going to fit. That's just who I am. I'm just a quick-tempered person. I can't change this. I believe we can. And in fact, I've seen someone who did this very thing. This is what they were concerned with. And they worked to change this about themselves, to prepare themselves for where they wanted to be as they got older. And whether it's self-control or even something as significant as greed, if we realize that we struggle with this in our life, we need to work on changing it, not just for this idea of preparing to be a shepherd one day, but just for the concept of being a saint, being a child of God, and what this is going to mean for my life, especially as I grow and I mature and I become embedded in these habits more and more, in this way of thinking. I've got to redevelop the mind and the way I think, be renewed in the spirit of the mind and kind of the spiritual language of the New Testament, to change who I am and become something so different, to become what God has called me to be. That way, whether I am called to fulfill this role of being an overseer, or whether I'm just called to be a servant within the body of Christ, I'm prepared, I'm ready, I'm able to do whatever I'm called to do. It's a period of time that's going to require some work and some diligence in the area of character, of reputation, putting a lot of thought into what I'm becoming. It takes a lot of hard work. It's kind of driving out the childish ways of youth. When we're getting to our upper 20s and to our 30s, we need to be reaching a state of maturity, a state in which we are very much developing these characters of self-control, of patience. Things that are going to be very important, not just for work within a congregation, but within our families and among our friends. And especially in reference to one of these last characteristics here that is mentioned in verse 7. The concept of being well thought of by outsiders. Reputation then becomes pretty important. And there are things sometimes that are beyond our control. It may be in our workplace that we unfairly get labeled in a certain way. And I've seen this happen. I know it does happen, and we can't necessarily always control that. I've seen men who have decided they're not ready to serve as shepherds because they know some misconceptions about them in their workplace or in their community, and that they don't want to make this step without correcting that first, and that's a noble thing to do. But as we're going through this process and we're thinking about being saints, being followers of Christ, and then maybe even going beyond this and aspiring to the role of a shepherd, we have to think about this idea of character and reputation and what we're building in our life and what people on the outside even are thinking. What do people think about me in my workplace? What do my neighbors think about me? People in my community, how do they perceive me? What do they think I am in life? What kind of character do they attach to me? And of course, even among our brethren, what do they think of me? When we realize the significance of what Paul is calling us to here, if we aspire to the work of an overseer, it gives us incentive to build this reputation and build the character that we have, thinking about how we're thought of even by our own brothers and sisters in Christ. Then we'll shape our behavior in a way that we're called to do anyway in Scripture, in places like Philippians 2, putting others' interests before our own, modifying maybe what would otherwise be selfish behavior, and realizing that other people's ideas and opinions and I can place as more important than my own. I can sacrifice and put them first. These are the kinds of qualities and characteristics that when my brethren look at me, they're going to want to see with someone who's going to be a shepherd. And what they should see in someone who wants to be a saint, or claims to be a saint. A very formative time in our life is reached when we are at this time period, when we have young children very often. We are either stressed by the cares of the world, by our jobs, by other responsibilities with family. And so we must realize the implications of how we react to those situations. and how we let those shape us and who we become. And when it comes to our claim to follow Christ, our claim to be saints, how well are we fitting within this paradigm of what Paul gives us in 1 Timothy 3, really, which is a picture of what a saint should look like in many cases. If you put aside the idea of being married or having submissive children or some of these more specific qualities and ideas, and you just take the idea of being above reproach or blameless, this is something that applies to all of us. How are we letting life shape us? Are we allowing it to make it clear that we are a follower of Jesus, that we have the character of Christ? Are we building this reputation that when people look to us, they know that we look to the Word? So we're trying not just to prepare men and women to fulfill the role of shepherd and shepherd's wife, but to be servants in the kingdom. People that match the call of Christ, even in the Sermon on the Mount, what he expects from his people. People who have character. People who have built a reputation of being blameless and respectable. People who aren't greedy. But everyone around them, whether it's at work, or whether it's in with the walls of this building, and within our community of believers, or within the community of this area, people realize the kind of people that we are, that we're the kind of people who are willing to serve, that we put others first, that we love Jesus, and we love the things that Jesus did, and we want to be like Jesus. And that we're willing to make changes to make that happen. And maybe this is the most important of all. We're talking about people who are in their 30s, because in our effort to build our career or to build our character and our reputation, sometimes it's very tempting to let things get to our head and to see ourselves as bigger and better than we really are, and that we realize we need to be humble and meek. And maybe it is that despite Moses' misperception about his abilities, one thing we can say about him, one thing that Scripture says about him, was that he was humble. And as we're going through this process of building qualities and characteristics of what God calls us to as saints and what he expects from those who are going to shepherd the people of God, we must be the kind of people who are open to improvement, who approach this with a meek spirit. We also have to be willing to go beyond what's comfortable. Not only is this building of character and building reputation, but in our 30s, as we're beginning to develop who we are, we have to be committed to this idea, which Moses struggled with, going beyond what is comfortable for us. Things like being hospitable and what's wrapped up in that, welcoming people into our homes, and not just people we know, but people who may be visiting. This idea of hosting strangers is the ultimate concept of this in antiquity, opening our home for the good of others, or the ability to teach. And this is not limited to some kind of symbolic representation of a man who can orate here in the front before a big group of people. This also relates to someone who can sit down with someone in their home across a table and teach them the gospel. This idea of the ability to teach and what is necessary for an overseer or a shepherd. It involves someone sitting down across the table from someone who's struggling with their marriage or struggling with their faith and trying to guide them through that. And so it's not necessary that we have to throw some man up here and act like this is the ability to teach by making him speak before a crowd of 50 people. Now maybe that's part of it. Maybe that fulfills that concept. But it is so much broader and so much more than just that idea. But I will say this. Whether we're talking about teaching Bible classes or whether we're talking about sitting down with a neighbor or a friend or someone struggling through some kind of spiritual crisis, if we aren't working on those kinds of things now in our 30s, the likelihood of us having the ability to do that when we are 50 is very slim. Again, it's a time of formation, a time of growth and building. Going beyond what's comfortable in our life right now, it's easy to not do these things, to not participate. It's easy to say, send someone else, as Moses tried to tell God. But at some point, we have to be willing to open our mouths and speak. And we're called to do that, not just as shepherds, not just as overseers, but as saints. to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts and be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within us. This is not just about men who are going to shepherd a congregation. This is about being a follower of Jesus Christ and knowing what we believe and being willing to speak about what we believe and being willing to go to Scripture and say, this is what the Bible says and this is what Jesus wants and this is what God expects. And so the idea of the ability to teach is not just within the realm of this room here preaching or going to a room back there and teaching a Bible class. Certainly that would fulfill that concept, that idea, but it really is so much broader and bigger than all of that. That we know Scripture, that we've studied, that we're diligent in it, that we're trained in the Holy Writings, that we've put this into practice in our life. And what that means in our 30s is that we need to be in the book while we're building our careers and our reputations at work. We need to be building our knowledge, our understanding, our discernment of Scripture, our ability to rightly handle the Word of God, as Paul tells Timothy he needs to be doing. If we're going to be saints, if we're going to be followers of Christ, we need to know what Christ said, and we need to know what his disciples said, what his inspired writers said, and to truly follow him and be a follower, a disciple of Christ, we have to understand these things that are written here in this book and be able to confess them before others. In our 30s, it's a time to go beyond what is easy and comfortable, to expect more of ourselves. And we may find we're not very good at some things. And we might find we're not very good at correcting what we're not good at, but we might find we're really good at correcting some of those things we think we aren't good at. And discover that we can serve in ways that we never thought we could have served before. And also in this time period is a time for family building. And I suggest that that is true in our 30s, on average, because often we have young children at this time of life, and we are beginning to form their minds as they look at the world, and we are developing the way in which we're going to bring them up and the way that we're going to parent these children. And of course, one of the qualifications of a shepherd specifically, although the concepts reach to anyone who is married and has children who is a saint, is this idea of teaching our children to be submissive, following the direction of Paul, teaching our children to do so in Ephesians 6:1, where it says, children, obey your parents. This is not just for shepherds, for overseers. This is for everyone. And so again, this attention to family, this focus on building our relationship with our children, with our wife, it is of vital importance at this age. Because of the implications of where this is going to take us in the future, the shepherd has to be married, has to have submissive children, as it says here in 1 Timothy 3, and he has to manage his household well with dignity. It says very similar things about the deacon, if you go on to read the qualifications for deacons. They have to manage their home in a dignified way. Where this is going to take us in the future is an important matter. Because notice what it does not say about shepherds in this text. It doesn't say he has to be a successful businessman. It doesn't say he has to have managerial experience and skill, or that he needs to be a wealthy member of the congregation, or he needs to be extroverted and social and able to interact with people on a high level. It doesn't say any of those things. Really, the focus of leadership ability is a man's ability to manage his home. And whether we read Titus 1 or 1 Timothy 3, the focus and the theme that Paul is looking at here, by means of which how we're going to decide who is capable of this work within the congregation, is how they manage their home. And so it might be that I'm very successful in business, but I'm just not qualified to be a shepherd. It might be that I've managed people in my job for 25 years, but I don't have the qualifications that are listed here because I have struggles at home. It might be that I've built an exceptional career in life, but maybe I haven't spent as much attention on building my family. And all those other things may be good in and of themselves, but what God is looking for in terms of people who are going to shepherd the flock are people that we can look and we see tangible evidence that they know how to manage people. That we look to their home and we see that they live with this wife and they have children that are submissive, that are obedient, and that cannot be accused of debauchery and insubordination. And that we look at this and say, here is substantial proof that this man has the ability to manage people in a spiritual way. And maybe it is they have managerial skills and that they have a successful business or they have money or they are social or extroverted or any of those things. That might be true. Sometimes some people kind of get that list in their mind, even though it's not really the biblical list. And I've seen men who are very introverted who've never had great success in their business life. They have decent jobs and they do well, but we wouldn't see them as being wealthy or managers. Men like that who are superb leaders in the congregation. It's not about saying a lot of words. And some of the very best shepherds I've seen are men of few words, who when they speak, you know to listen. As we're trying to build these qualities, those of us who are at my age, the 30s, I think we need to get the right paradigm in our mind about what's being looked for, the expectations from Scripture. That we realize it's about how we lead our family and how we manage our home and the wisdom ultimately that we're going to bring to the table, whether we say a lot of words or we say few words, that God is looking for in those who are going to shepherd the flock. Moses, I believe, underestimated his ability, as I think many of us often do. We've convinced ourselves sometimes that we're not capable of many things. I'll give you an example in my life. This doesn't relate to spiritual things, but I am not, and I'm using the language right now, I'm not a very good handyman. I've convinced myself of that, okay? I probably could put some work into it if I desired that and get better. I feel like, at least, Katie might disagree, I feel like I am smart enough and capable enough that if I put some hours into it, I could learn some of those things. But the reality is I just haven't done that. And I wasn't taught that when I was younger. And my point is, a lot of times we've convinced ourselves and we believe things about ourselves, we tell ourselves stories that just aren't true. I believe that's what Moses did. And of course, in that situation, he had God himself speaking to him and said, I made your tongue. I know you can speak. We aren't fortunate enough to have that direct interaction. But we can, at this age, in this time of life, begin building our character and our reputation, stepping outside of what's comfortable, trying to push the limit of what we think we can do and see where maybe we can be better than we think we can in certain areas. And maybe one of those is, ultimately, we could lead in this very important and beneficial role of shepherding God's people. And we have to ask ourselves what kind of foundation we're building for the future. Are we merely content with where we are? If anyone aspires, Paul says, it's a noble thing. And it may be that you aspire to this role and you never reach it. But I want us to understand that even if you're never a shepherd, aspiring to that role is always going to be helpful. And so whatever age we're in, whether we're young people or whether we're in our 20s or our 30s, or what we'll talk about later, the time frame 40s, 50s, 60s, when we're looked at more significantly for this role, we need to be pushing ourselves as saints, as followers of Christ, to be all that we can be, to serve in the kingdom as best as we know how. If you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, I want to take just a minute to convince you that you should be. There's no other story like Jesus' story. The story of Jesus is a story of God, the creator of the world, who loves his creation so much that even though they have defied him and they've sinned and rebelled against him, to restore that relationship, God became flesh and he dwelt among us. And not only that, but he took the sins of the world upon himself and he died for all humanity. He shed his blood so that we would not have to shed our blood for our sins. He took that upon himself. And through that we find grace and we find hope. And what he's asked of us is just to follow him, to do his will, to pursue holiness, to die with him in a death like his, being baptized in water, being raised up in newness of life, experiencing this resurrection even now in this life, awaiting the final resurrection of the body to be with him for all eternity. And if you haven't done that yet, then you're not in Christ. And I don't say that to be mean or ugly, but just to be truthful. And what you most need in your life right now, if that's where you find yourself, is to get back in harmony with God. He has offered that. By his grace, he has made it available to everyone. And he wishes that all would come to repentance. And it might be this morning, now is your time to make that known. Can we help you? Why don't you come? Let's be standing and sing together.